Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
From high above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Portland police arrest a bloody robbery suspect. The state of Virginia will execute the first woman in nearly a century. And President Barack Obama gives a speech to the UN.
Who?
President Barack Obama.
I'm sorry, I got something over here. I couldn't quite.
Oh, President Barack Obama? Obama?
Barack.
President Obama.
Which Obama?
The president.
Okay.
Barack.
Barack Obama.
Yes.
Okay. Who?
Barack Obama.
That's what I thought. As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when this hour began. And now, without further ado, Barack what?
Obama.
Okay. Pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Thursday, September 23rd, 2010. A bus driver caught with an e-reader on his dashboard has been fired for the second time in 4 years. TriMet spokeswoman Mary Fetch said Lassen Kutschbein was terminated for posing an immediate threat to public safety and violation of district policy.
And also for being a Hungarian curse, apparently.
He was videotaped apparently reading an Amazon Kindle while driving a Line 96 bus on Interstate 5 last week. 4 years ago, he was fired by TriMet for an incident involving a passenger. He filed a grievance in 2007, and a mediator reinstated him with a 30-day suspension instead of termination. He also had his Oregon driver's license suspension pending for traffic violations in his personal car, but he had violations resolved without them affecting his commercial driver's license.
That was the 96. Was this the guy that goes on the Terwilliger curves?
Yeah, with the Kindle.
And he had the thing on the dashboard,
right.
And he was busy sort of reading about...
He was reading the Da Vinci Code or something while he was swooping through the curve.
See, I was going to go a totally different way. I was going to do like an Anna Karenina kind of thing, but it didn't really come together.
The irony being that perhaps he was stupid because he was reading on the bus, but
right.
Yet he was reading something really smart, but like Dostoevsky.
Yeah, he was, Heathcliff, you know, but then, yes. No. But then my brain just didn't really want to come up with the proper reference, so
yeah,
it all
fell apart. Yours would have been funnier, though.
Yeah, I suppose. If only it hadn't been full of failure. You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Thank you for joining us. It is Thursday, September 23rd, 2010. Don't forget, you can get this program later on today via iTunes, if that's your fancy. You can also download it as a direct MP3 here at PDX.FM, or at legionofnews.com. You can get it on your mobile device as well at mobile.pdx.fm. This is Don Taylor.
A man covered in blood was arrested after a fight with police and is now charged with robbery, manufacturing marijuana, and assault. Portland police said they responded to a domestic dispute in the 5800 block of Northeast 59th Avenue just before 6:30 p.m. Tuesday. They said they found 39-year-old Eli Ryder, who was barely coherent. Ryder initially complied with officer's orders, but then sprayed blood from a cut on his hand at an officer.
Well, that's almost impressive. That's like that iguana that can squirt blood out of the side of its eyeballs to ward off predators. How exactly do you squirt blood out of a cut, do you suppose?
I don't know. It said he sprayed, but maybe he flung his hand in such a manner to spray as...
Well, that's a different verb altogether. That's not nearly as exciting.
Well, no, it didn't say squirt. It said sprayed. So.
Right, but spread to...
I don't know. Maybe it was a really
bad
cut.
It's too early in the day for
and
this.
It was kind of pumping out, and he squeezed his wrist really hard, and it just went...
And it just went, what? Okay. So it sounded like an ill-powered geyser from 100 yards away.
Exactly.
Heard on a day when there was a strong crosswind.
Well, it is just a cut on his hand. It's not Old Faithful.
You got to pick one or the other. It's either a little cut on his hand or he was able to, quote, spray his own blood at the arresting officers. Which, by the way, is the kind of thing that'll just get you beaten senseless because I think they call that a biohazard threat at this point.
Well, yes, that's why they, by the way, then shocked him with a taser and hit him with a baton.
Well done.
But he didn't slow him down. He ripped the taser off of an officer's belt and grabbed the baton before throwing it into a nearby yard. Additional officers arrived and placed Ryder in handcuffs. He was taken to the hospital before going to jail.
And then he sprayed his mitochondria at them after that. So, just back on the spraying of the blood for a second.
Okay.
The cut was where on his body?
It said on his hand.
So I don't know what the hell that sound is, by the way. I have no idea.
Is that the Skype?
You know, I think the Skype is actually turned off. I mean, it must be coming from my machine somewhere, so that's...
Did you install a fish tank last night when I wasn't here?
It's entirely possible. All right, let me just see if I can just... Hold on a second. Let me see if I can get rid of this.
Was that you receiving email from me, which I sent to you?
Hey, you know, I bet that's what that was. You know, that's bizarre because my email... I know exactly what's to blame for this. Well spotted, Don Taylor.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I got to turn that off.
Because I sent you those sound files, so there.
All right, let me just... Let me just get with the closing.
Okay, you'll be needing that momentarily.
Oh, so. God, really? No, I just closed my email.
Well, don't, because I sent you email just now for a reason.
You know, woman, I've about had it with your sass, all right?
Am I too uppity?
Yes, and your sass hole's going to be closed forcibly in just a second.
My sass hole.
All right, now I got to go back to system preferences and the hole and the whatever. And
Should I read another story while you fidget with your MacBook there?
I'll conjure up those sound files that you sent me here in just a second. But in the meantime, let me just say this thing about him spraying the blood. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that it seems like if there was a section of his body that was producing a sufficient amount of blood to allow him to spray it, he would then also not be able to still be, like, up and around because he would have lost a sufficient amount of blood by then to render himself, you know, dead. You could spray blood from your jugular vein, but you could only do that for like a second and a half before you'd shuffle off your mortal coil and be no threat to anybody. These are the sorts of things that don't...
I think that they meant... I don't know. I think it was probably something more like he was flailing his hands about.
So he was flinging his blood.
Yeah, the blood came off of his hand with the centrifugal force of the flinging.
Okay. All right.
I believe. I just realized that I didn't print out any of the sound... things that
well
you
done.
Sent me earlier.
So, yeah, that's fantastic. Don, how do you feel about making fun of me just moments ago? That's right.
Hoist
by your own petard, ye are.
I still feel pretty good about that.
Well, all right. Fair enough. So. Here's Don Taylor at the news desk.
Virginia is moving forward Thursday with its first execution of a woman in nearly a century amid appeals from the European Union and repercussions that reach as far away as Iran. Teresa Lewis, 41, was scheduled to die by injection at 9 p.m. at Greensville Correctional Center in Jarrett, Virginia, for the October 2002 hired killings of her husband and stepson. To procure the hitmen, prosecutors said she used sex, cash, and a promised cut of the insurance benefits that the killings would reap. The U.S. Supreme Court and Governor Bob McDonald declined to intervene. All her legal appeals had been exhausted. Lewis's supporters say she's a changed woman, however, and point to testimonials from former prison chaplains and inmates that Lewis comforted and inspired other inmates with her faith and the hymns and country gospel tunes she sang at the Fluvanna Correctional Center for Women.
She also heals lepers in her spare time. I thought this was the chick where they were making the case that she was retarded.
Well, yes.
She's either retarded or she's Christian. You can't be both.
The execution has stirred an unusual amount of attention because of her gender. Also claims that she lacked the intelligence to mastermind the killings and the post-conviction emergence of defense evidence that one of the trigger men may have manipulated her. Anyway, the European Union has gotten involved, writing the ambassador to the U.S. wrote that they consider the execution of people with mental disorders contrary to minimum standards of human rights. The Iranian president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, accused Western media of having a double standard in reporting on the execution.
That's awesome. I like the idea that a guy who wakes up every morning just trying to think of how he can eliminate Israel from the map actually then lectures us on human rights. In a way, you sort of have to admire the chutzpah there. That he just, he has no self-consciousness about that at all. No hesitation.
Yeah, he said he talked about our heavy propaganda in the U.S., against the case of an Iranian woman who had been sentenced to be stoned to death for adultery. Meanwhile, he said, nobody objects to the case of an American woman who is going to be executed.
I mean, it's not as if she is a Jew. All right. To which email did you send that this alleged sound to?
No,
it's not there. You didn't send me anything.
I did.
You sent me Jack and Squat.
Then what was that sound?
I didn't hear a sound. I don't know what sound you're talking about. Would you like to know that was actually sending me a monkey watch for the Rick Emerson show?
Nice.
Yeah, whatever you sent me didn't arrive.
Well,
it's okay. I'm sure it wasn't crucial. Would you like to create the sound maybe with your own mouth? Would you just sort of like to do sort of an artist rendering of the sound verbally?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
Positive?
There it is. Here's a sent mail to Rick Emerson. Show details. That went to your personal account.
Yeah, no,
Well, I'll send it again if you have one.
Okay. I'll just sit here.
Okay.
So anyway.
How about I send it to Rick at Rick Emerson this time?
All right, let's try that.
You'll get it in two places, not twice.
The exciting Does Rick Receive His Email portion of the program will conclude after this exciting word from the news desk.
Why don't I read another story while you're looking for that?
All right, here's Don Taylor.
A woman's run from police came to an end Wednesday when she was placed in handcuffs and loaded into a patrol car bound for the Washington County Jail. Elizabeth Ellett, 25, is accused of flipping off a police officer, flashing him, and then driving off, forcing the officer to jump out of the way to avoid being hit. Sherwood Police Captain Jim Reed said the incident began when an officer was helping a driver whose car broke down along Highway 99. The officer noticed Ellett honking and trying to get around traffic. The officer flagged Ellett to pull over, but when he attempted to talk to her, she made an obscene gesture and then took off, nearly hitting him. So then they had this slow-speed chase through Washington County, where she was driving at near posted speeds, and they finally laid down a spike strip to make her stop. She went to her parents' house on Southwest 184th Avenue in Alloa, holed up inside the house, and refused to come out.
Fantastic.
They used a loudspeaker to try and convince her to come out for about 45 minutes or so. Finally, they set up a perimeter, sent in a police dog, and eventually arrested her. She suffered from minor injuries from a dog bite to her calf.
So this is the whole thing where the cop pulled her over, and then she just, she was opposed to that.
And apparently at some point she also, like, pulled up her shirt or something and flashed him after she gave him the finger.
Well, now she's just sending mixed messages, Don. Now he just doesn't know what to think. She's flipping him off, she's showing her breasts, did he finally just tase her, you said, or was she attacked by a police dog?
Brought down by a police dog.
All right.
A neighbor said, you know, the world is full of interesting people, to each their own. You shouldn't be running around flashing the police.
Well, I don't know that the police would necessarily agree with that. They might have an entirely different take on the situation. I believe the sound has arrived.
Woo-hoo!
It has been placed in the soundboard whenever you're inclined to use it, Dante.
And speaking of sound, if you reach behind you to the printer area, I should have all of those things that you worked so hard to send me and that I ignored.
Yeah, fantastic.
And let's,
you're listening to Legion of News right here, pdx.fm. Don't forget, you can get it via iTunes later on today and also as a download right here, pdx.fm or at legionofnews.com. At 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson Show takes the airwaves at rickemerson.com. Today we'll have top five songs to use food as a metaphor for sweet, sweet, tender caresses, by which I mean sex. We've got that. Also, another installment of Pop Culture Authority coming your way and so forth. This is Don Taylor.
The owners of two Iowa egg farms linked to a massive salmonella outbreak are questioned by members of a House subcommittee today about conditions at their facilities. When the president of Hillendale Farms of Iowa was asked about unsanitary conditions at one of his farms before an August email, he invoked his Fifth Amendment right.
Declined to answer the question based on the protection afforded me under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Well, he sounds reputable. There's nothing suspicious about that, Don. They're just asking about eggs. It's not like it's not like they're saying, "What happened to Three Fingers Rizzo? You tell us." They just said, like, "What is up with your eggs?" And he said, "I'm not going to answer anything about my eggs.
I take the fifth about eggs." Protesters interrupted Wright County egg owner Austin Jack DeCoster's opening statement.
I'm sorry, hold on, I have to just...
All eggs kill?
All eggs kill! All eggs kill! All eggs kill! All eggs kill!
Okay. I don't... this is normally where I would say, like, I don't even know what that means, but I don't know if I know what that means. I mean... I guess their claim is that... I mean, I'm just, that's from what I can suss out anyway, but what are they really trying to say there? As opposed, you know, I mean, it seems like there's got to be something other than the surface meaning. Are they speaking
maybe
a figurative death of the soul?
Maybe they're concerned about people's cholesterol?
All eggs kill!
I don't know. I almost want to find, the protesters are almost more interesting than the...
Trying to answer the question based on the protection afforded me.
Okay.
All
right.
DeCoster apologized for the entire situation.
We got into trouble with government requirements.
Government.
Times. I am sorry for those failings. I accept the responsibility for those mistakes in our operations.
All eggs
I'm just going to play that at random places throughout the program
that's
today.
That's my new ringtone.
I'm just going to be playing in the background. Don't you want to find the protester and ask him, like, which eggs, like, when you say all eggs?
Turtle eggs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, all eggs, the human eggs, chicken eggs, turtle eggs. I mean, I'm having to fight off the puns with just like a whip and a chair in my head. And who do they kill exactly? Who is it that's killed by the eggs? And is it like is it only if you consume them? Or is it a thing that eggs are in and of themselves evil?
See, and now I'm thinking about that horrible character, Eggs from True Blood.
See, you were thinking, this is when I was assembling these sound bites, and I was typing the word egg, because I had the little run sheet for you, and I was typing the word eggs, and in my head it was going, eggs! And I was just picturing Michelle Forbes twitching back and forth on the lawn.
And Tara going, but what about eggs? I love eggs!
But then later on, because I'm an idiot, then I was just... Do you ever do this where you just sit and you will say things out loud to yourself that really, they aren't all that funny.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like you'll just say them out loud to yourself in a particular kind of voice, and then you'll just giggle uncontrollably.
Well, like every time when I hear some reference to Snooki on Jersey Shore, and I go, Snooki!
Yeah,
and then I laugh to myself because I crack myself up.
Yeah, you're laughing out loud, like, to no one, because you yourself are so hilarious to yourself.
Yes.
So this is me. So I do all my, all the show prep we do, I do most of it at home, actually, in this sort of big green chair that I have. So I'm just sitting there last night.
Wearing your typing boots?
Yes, wearing my typing boots. So I'm sitting there last night assembling all the sound bites, such as... And I'm typing out the story for you and just giving you the whole time. And I'm writing out the eggs, E-G-G-S. And then I find myself saying things out loud to myself in a James Lipton voice, going, will you please explain the story? and then like, picturing
and
myself.
And then you're laughing, and then your dog is, like, looking at you, right?
And then I'm picturing myself as James Lipton turning and doing that thing where he gives the aside to the audience so they can appreciate his genius. But then it becomes like a whole thing where it morphs with Will Ferrell in my head, too, and it is all... And then I got nothing done for like 10 minutes because I sat and giggled at my own comedic genius. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News news desk.
Let's do a little science news.
All right, here's your science on the march for Thursday right here at Legion of News.
We should also remember to do, like... ads and things at some point, because I failed to print you a run sheet.
It's all right here in the steel trap that is my mind, Don.
Only 24 of several dozen pilot whales stranded on a remote northern New Zealand beach survived a stormy first night ashore, despite rescuers' desperate attempts to save them. Large waves and strong winds lashed Spirits Bay as rescuers struggled to move survivors above the tide line. It was the second mass beaching in the region in a month. As of this morning, Department of Conservation spokeswoman Carolyn Smith said, there have been 24 live animals moved out of the tide up onto the beach out of harm's way. The weather is terrible up there. We have 20 knot winds and 1.5 to 2 meter swells, so it's not possible to refloat them at Spirits Bay. The 80 animals were spread out over a three-mile stretch. Officials were planning to use big nets to lift the creatures onto the backs of trucks and move them to more sheltered Rarawa Beach.
To where?
Rarawa Beach. Rarawa. It's New Zealand. They say things like that. About an hour south, where they will be refloated. Rescuers spent Wednesday night on the beach keeping the bales cool and damp. They said at least 25 of the animals were already dead when officials first arrived on Wednesday, and another 15 had died by nightfall. 50 more were spotted just offshore, some of which later beached themselves. Children are learning to use profanity at an earlier age,
according to
research presented at the Sociolinguistics Symposium this month. And the researchers found children are also swearing more often than children did just a few decades ago.
Now, how do they even measure that? I mean, unless they're putting like a sort of Eric Cartman chip in your head, how do they even track that? Because it seems like it relies almost entirely on the word of children.
Well,
and if I was a kid, I'd just be inclined to lie to any guy with a clipboard who came up and tried to test me about anything.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm scanning this story to try and find the area where they tell you how they did the research, and I have no clue.
I mean, they either got to ask the kids or they got to ask the teachers or the parents. And teachers and parents, everybody in this story is inclined to lie. Kids are going to say they swear less than they do, and adults are going to be like, I know, little bastards. When I was a kid, I pulled my pants up. And then you're going to end up with nothing. It probably is true, though.
Apparently, though, there was data because it was presented at the symposium. By psychology professor Timothy Jay of the Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts. He suggests the rise in profanity among children is not surprising given the general rise of the use of swearing among adults during the same period. They aren't learning it at an earlier age from the television they watch, however. The rise in cursing mirrors the rise in cursing among adults in the past 30 years. Jay has been studying the psychology of swearing for 30 years now.
Okay.
They also don't appear to be using worse swear words than in the past, just common swear words more often. There are over 70 different common taboo swear words in the English language. 10 frequently used words account for over 80% of common swearing. And I'm sure you could probably imagine what most of them are.
Wait a minute. So they're not using quote, worse swear words?
Well, they're not saying, like, say...
The C word?
Yes, or the MF word.
Well,
hell, damn.
No, we got it.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so this is the arable. So the one would say the broadcast friendly swear words. Those are not the worst words. The seven dirty words.
Yeah.
Although it's not even really seven
and
anymore.
The,
it's like four.
The two most commonly used ones. So,
all right.
You know, but
so those are the but those are the worst.
But apparently saying bitch sucks. Oh my God, that all counts. Ass. But apparently kids are using those words more than ever before.
Well, it's all part of having a colorful lexicon.
Yeah.
It's about embracing the many shades in the tapestry that is the English language, Don.
You want to have all the colors in your crayon.
There you go. Now, see, why didn't anybody ever appreciate that when I was a kid?
No.
And they were just, they just wanted me to be monochromatic in speech and thought. Not going to happen.
Exactly. It's all about control, Rick
Sons
Emerson.
Sons of bitches. That's right.
That's all the science I've got.
All right, there you go. That's the end of science for... You are listening to Legion of News right here at BDX.fm. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. Don't forget you can get this program via iTunes later on today. Speaking of language, Don, and children, you know, kids learn the darndest things.
They
learn at a much faster rate than you and I with our feeble, sluggish adult brains, especially those of us who are nearing yet another birthday.
Example?
Don Taylor is nearing your 25th or 26th birthday.
My 74th birthday.
Can I just... Well, never mind. Never mind. No. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to make a note about your upcoming birthday, but I'm not going to do it now because that would get us off track.
Are you going to actually ask me how old I am?
Well...
I told Bruce Agler how old I am.
Why does Bruce Agler get to know?
Because he told me how old he was, and so I shared.
Well, that... Whatever. All right.
Plus, Bruce is older than me, so that, made me feel okay.
Talking over here.
Oh, sorry.
Castalia Language Center friends, you can find out more about this glorious place by going to PortlandSpanish.com. PortlandSpanish.com is how you find out more about Castalia Language Center. If you have been wanting to learn Spanish, and maybe you didn't learn it when you were a kid, or maybe they tried to teach it to you when you were in high school, but you were just busy, sitting in the back and I don't know, sniffing paint thinner or whatever. You know, or you just decided like, well, I'm not going to learn it because you're making me learn it. So therefore, I will dig in intellectually and I will refuse to take any knowledge into my brain. But now as an adult, you are recognizing the error of your ways and you want to become bilingual. You want to learn how to speak Spanish, which is going to become a massively useful language in the next 10, 15, 20 years, even more so than it is now. You contact Castalia Language Center at PortlandSpanish.com. And now the thing that sets Castalia Language Center aside is that it is adults only. It's not kids, not teenagers, just adults. So you're all, learning in the same rate, the same time, same way. And class sizes are limited to 8 people. They can work with whatever your schedule might be, whatever day or time you find yourself free. They do beginning, intermediate, and advanced classes as well. Plus, they are a proud sponsor of Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Do find out more about them at PortlandSpanish.com. PortlandSpanish.com. That's how you contact Castalia Language Center. This is Don Taylor.
Before I read this next story, I have a little background here. Here on PDX FM, there's a morning show done by the esteemed Mr. Robert Wagner.
Reclusive billionaire Robert Wagner?
Reclusive billionaire Robert Wagner.
I've heard tell.
One time it was PDX Sucks, then it morphed into Morning Submission, and now it has morphed yet again into Suck It with Robert Wagner and Sabrina Miller. I was kind of cued in that perhaps I might want to listen this morning, and I listen many mornings, but this morning was especially interesting because, Robert mentioned that he listens to our show every day, and that apparently he is especially a fan of me and one particular thing that I tend to do on this show, and I believe you have a very short little audio.
L-O-N?
Yes.
Drinking? All right.
And so one of my favorite phrases that I'm talking, of course, about Don Taylor, who without fail, each and every day, will say the phrase, President Barack Obama, at least a dozen times.
Really?
Yes. Now, I've decided to make this a drinking game, okay? And I decided to do this yesterday because I was left here to my own devices. And I thought, man, I've been thinking about this for a couple weeks now. I'm going to make this drinking game. I'm going to see how this works.
Nice.
And she barely said it at all, so I was pissed. Aww. So then I went back and I'm like, well, screw this. I've already opened a bottle, right? So I downloaded an old episode that I knew had some Obama references in it, and I decided, President Barack Obama was not enough. I have to also include her other phrases, including Mr. Obama, just plain old Barack Obama, and then Obama.
So that said, I would like to dedicate this next story to Mr. Robert Wagner.
Fantastic.
Do you have a little, I believe you have a little music to accompany this?
Yes, I do, actually. So, was this this morning that this happened? This was,
Yes, this is this morning. And I have the full audio from what he said, and we'll be talking about this later more fully on the Rick Emerson Show.
All right, fantastic.
But now I just want to read this particular story.
All right, so let me make sure that I've got this, properly queued up. So this story is then dedicated to, it is done in aid of, it is done especially for
this
Mr. Robert Wagner.
This is going out to Robert Wagner.
All right.
President Barack Obama dwelled on the intractable Middle East conflict in an address to the United Nations on Thursday and said it's time for the Israelis and Palestinians to pave the road to peace. Now is the time for the parties to help each other overcome this obstacle, President Obama said at the annual U.N. General Assembly debate.
President who?
President Barack Obama.
Okay.
World leaders, including Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas, heard President Barack Obama set down his position for peace. However, the Israeli U.N. delegation was not present because it is Sukkot, the religious holiday in Israel and the Jewish world. President Barack Obama touted the direct negotiations his administration has pursued between the Israelis and Palestinians. Last year, and by I, he means President Barack Obama, pledged my best efforts to support the goal of two states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and security as part of a comprehensive peace between Israel and all of its neighbors. President Obama scoffed at pessimism over the process and warned of the alternative if there is no peace agreement, saying the hard realities of demography will take hold. The Holy Land will remain a symbol of our differences instead of our common humanity, President Barack Obama said, and he emphasized that he refuses to accept that future. President Obama urged Israel to continue its settlement moratorium, which has made a difference on the ground and improved the atmosphere for talks. Our position on this issue is well known. We believe that the moratorium should be extended. We also believe the talks should press on until completed. He added, I say that as President Obama. President Barack Obama.
So this isn't President Chet Obama.
No.
Okay.
This isn't President Steve Obama.
Not Cedric Obama.
It's President Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. Okay. I'm sorry. One more time. It's like a little...
President Barack Obama.
Okay, thank you. Like I have a little waxy buildup or something happening there. All right, there you go. That is Don Taylor at the Legion of News news desk, ladies and gentlefolk. And on wah-wah guitar there, Mr. Timmy Ryan. You're listening to Legion of News. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor at the Legion of News news desk. And here she is once again.
Police in Cowlitz County are searching for two suspects accused of robbery and vehicular assault. On Wednesday afternoon, residents in Kalama River noticed that a local shop whose owners were out of town had been burglarized. Richard Tolmie identified the fleeing vehicle when it accelerated towards him and knocked him to the ground. He suffered scrapes and abrasions to his hands and arms. Deputies searched the area but did not locate the suspect vehicle, a red square-bodied lowered mid-80s Chevy or GMC two-wheel drive S10 pickup. The truck has a matching red aluminum canopy. Deputies are looking to identify the vehicle and occupants for their involvement in a first-degree burglary, vehicular assault, and hit-and-run. The fall equinox, meaning equal night and daylight hours, arrived at 8.09 p.m. last night. In Portland, a bright harvest moon ushered in the new season under partly cloudy skies and pleasant temperatures in the 60s.
Wait a minute, it's the what equinox?
The fall equinox.
The fall equinox.
Autumn, if you will.
All right, so that means that we're exactly... It's 12 and 12. It's 12 hours of something and then 12 hours of something, day and night or whatever.
Yes.
Okay. I always... I don't mean to sound dumb, but how is it that, how do they judge that? Is it, in other words, is that like by when it's no longer visible on the horizon?
I have no idea.
That's the thing, you know, because that's the thing that they see you hear every year. They go, well, it's the longest day of the year, or it's the longest night of the year, or it's half and half. Mm-hmm. But it's like, does that mean as long as it's light out, or as long as you can actually see the sun, and like, from where?
I don't know.
See, these things always fall apart. You lean on them just a little bit, and they just collapse like wet cardboard. There's just no structural underpinning to any of this crap that they told us when we were in school. They never explained any of it.
I personally cannot be an expert on everything. Yeah. So there are things that I leave to others.
Let me just say, this is... So I watched that show, Louie, that you... you'd.
Wow.
I'll tie it all together, sister.
Just got
sister.
A little whiplash from that segue there.
We're still within the same subject. You just can't see all that I see. Here's the thing. From the mental peak upon which I'm standing, Dawn, you can't see how it all connects together in the valley of my mind.
All right.
But I'm
with you, sister.
As they say in Spokane, so you borrowed me that episode of Louis, which is the new series that Louis C.K. does on FX, which was awesome, by the way. And it was the episode where the doctor comes in and gives the medical explanation of the scourging of Christ and whatever, and it's sort of uncomfortable and horrible and grotesque and hilarious.
And I was like, you have to watch this.
But it's one of those, but there's a kid, and it's not Louis, it's like the fat kid that's his friend, and he raises his hand when they're talking about Jesus dying for your sins, and the kid makes the greatest observation where he says, so if Jesus died for my sins, and it hurt a lot, and he was suffering, you know, then it's really a waste of time if I don't sin. So I should sin as much as possible, right? Or else he died for nothing. And the teacher gives him the you shut your smart mouth kind of a thing. But that's the sort of thing that they just, you know, they try to slide underneath your sort of assessment radar when you're a child, hoping that you won't pick up on it. So it is with the whole equinox thing. They just sort of say it really quickly, and then it's like they move on and they distract you with a map of something just to try to get you to not think about it.
Well, we had a very short summer. There was a long period in 2009 from mid-May to mid-September where it was warm and sunny. But this year, Oregon and Southwest Washington saw record rains in June and September.
Is this part of the same story?
Yes.
Okay, let me understand.
It's about
this.
Weather. No. I'm talking about weather.
Okay, I'm not just... Look, somebody's defensive. I'm not saying you can't talk about weather. Despite what my old consultants used to tell me, the weather is occasionally a topic, not all that often. But here's my quibble with the story.
Okay.
On the one hand... You've got these alleged reporters and scientists writing that we are now at the autumn equinox because we are precisely at the midpoint between winter equinox and summer vernal or whatever. So we're halfway through. So we're at a definable midpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, like, two sentences later, they say, we had one of the shortest summers on record. The summer was the same length it always was. Just because it was colder outside doesn't mean the summer was shorter. They can't go from the literal to the figurative like that.
Was it, Rick, though? I mean, is the summer on the calendar the actual summer? Or is that a man-made construct that we have laid over the actual season?
Well, it's a construct used by these men. Otherwise, they wouldn't be saying it's the equinox.
I'm just saying
they should either be literal or they should be specific. They shouldn't,
or figurative. The equinox is a thing or it's not a thing. It's
well, we don't even know that that's the case because we don't know what they think the equinox even is.
It's when we have equal night and daylight hours.
Okay, so that's a finite amount of measurement.
Exactly, and so are actual seasons if you're going by weather and not by the calendar.
So if I'm reading the Old Farmer's Almanac, if I'm waiting for my elbow to tell me when the fall's going to be coming.
If you're just a guy sitting in a studio talking into a microphone,
Who are you referring to there?
The summer is essentially the same length every single year because you're just looking at calendar pages. But if you're a farmer, if you're a guy who's raising llamas and you're dependent on like there to be a certain amount of warm weather, cool weather, rain, etc., you're more in touch with the seasons, Rick Emerson, the actual seasons, not the calendar seasons.
Well, I'd rather be a guy raising llamas than a guy raising eggs.
All eggs till! All eggs!
All right.
From the text box, you two are so retarded today.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's the kind of loyalty and support we appreciate here at Legion of News, and we are grateful for it. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM, brought to you by, among other folks, The Cleaning Solution. That is Mr. Michael Beatty, who owns and operates that service. He is the proprietor of The Cleaning Solution, based right here in Portland, and he tries to keep his dollars in Portland as well. He buys his supplies, his accessories from other Portland businesses whenever possible, and of course he does a little getting the word out here at Legion of News. So we are proud to have him as a business partner. If you've got the carpet, stone, tile, marble, upholstery, hardwood flooring, whatever. Marble we found is a porous stone.
It is. It is a porous stone. It also needs to be polished and treated regularly.
Because it'll stain or something otherwise?
It'll stain. It'll also become dull.
Okay. I guess that makes sense if it absorbs water. So if you got like a walkway, entryway, living room, whatever it is at your house or your business, and you put it in, that looks all grimy and grungy, or you just got it and you want to keep it looking good, especially if you get children, because they're just like dirt machines. I mean, it's like they basically just exist to create stains and to be bailed out of jail later. So you can contact Mr. Michael Beatty at 971-533-3211, 971-533-3211. And he can not only get you back up to speed by, cleaning anything your feet might touch, as they say, but he can put you in a maintenance program to make sure that you don't have to come and just do some huge Herculean cleaning job every couple of years. It's actually only 40% of the cleaning cost to put you on a maintenance program. So contact him at 971-533-3211 and do tell him you heard about it here, won't you please? Mr. Michael Beatty, The Cleaning Solution. Here's Don Taylor.
Well, speaking of the Old Farmer's Almanac, Rick Emerson, the editor of that fine publication says that they predict a warmer than normal fall, but a colder winter.
Are you telling me that I talked about the Farmer's Almanac just moments ago and now we actually have sound from the Farmer's Almanac?
We do indeed.
That's astounding.
Some places, however, will escape extreme conditions.
Some of the more pleasant places will be northern Maine and Texas, southern Texas, and southern California.
So again, with people laughing in the middle of their sound bites for reasons that, like, they've all been
weather's
told.
Weather's kind of frustrating.
It's like they've been told a joke that we weren't privy to.
Stillman says looking beyond this fall and winter, they predict a slow cooling trend.
We believe that we're in the midst of a period of significant change despite the warm weather we had this summer. We believe that over the coming years, a gradual cooling of the atmosphere will occur, offset by any warming caused by increased greenhouse gases.
She lost me like halfway through that. I don't even know whether it's going to be warm or cold now.
She also says to expect a snowier than normal winter.
We do expect a couple of big snowstorms to hit, one in January and February, along much of the East Coast, and indeed the Deep South, across the Louisiana, Arkansas, northern portions of Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, and even Tennessee.
What accent is this? I can't quite put my finger.
Wama.
Some of the more pleasant places will be northern Maine.
Is it like a New Hampshire kind of an accent?
And Southern California.
California.
Kind of that Pepperidge Farm guy.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Exactly.
That's the only commercial impersonation I can do, and it's just that one line. It's not even the rest of the commercial. It's just at the end where the old guy says, Pepperidge Farm remembers, and that's just all about, and it's just all about putting everything back way up in your nasal cavity there. That's how that guy talks.
The only commercial imitation that I've ever done is ancient Chinese secret, huh?
awesome.
Why I have that stuck in my head since childhood, I have no idea.
You should start saying that in public, regardless of who's around you or who else is in the room.
I'm going to make that my my catchphrase.
You should make it your ringtone. If I ever send you like a text message, it's just, you know. All right. Anyway. Okay. Did you read the old Farmer's Almanac when you were growing up? Did you ever have that around your house?
We didn't really have a whole lot of need for it in a Southern California beach town.
Well, not like look, no one really needs the, not even old farmers need the old Farmer's Almanac.
I mean, I remember seeing one probably for the first time when I was about 11 or 12 and finding it fascinating.
It is. It's a completely fascinating magazine. That's just, my mom used to get it. My mom grew up on a farm, and so she had this whole like weird, and I don't even know if they actually read it on farms. Like, I'm assuming they did like in 1812, but I don't know. You know, like in the early 20th century, if that was a thing that was actually... In other words, I don't know when that went from being a thing that farmers used to being a mass market kind of publication, you know, for regular folk.
And it's still published. And you go to, like, Fred Meyer every year, and it's sitting there on the shelves.
But don't you suspect like that more non-farmers read it at this point than actual farmers?
Well, they have to, because there are more non-farmers in general than there are
out-farmers.
Well,
and also, you know, and also if you're a farmer, you just, like... You're probably not relying on a thing that was printed like a year ago to tell you what the weather's going to be. You got a computer now you can use for that.
I like that the old Farmer's Almanac, I like it because it's so, like, sort of random.
Yeah.
Like, you have all these pages of, like, when the equinoxes and the full moons and things are, and then there'll be this thing like, you know, how to sharpen a scythe.
Yeah, it's, well, and then it's got the, and it's, and the one little affectation that it's got, which is, I think, a sort of bizarre throwback to ye olden days, is it's got that hole punched in the side of it, so you can hang it in your outbuilding,
in your barn. Oh, yeah. In your outbuilding.
Yes, because yeah. it has the greatest of qualities for a farming magazine. It is soft, strong, and thoroughly absorbent.
You know, this is a sign of your personal growth. By the way, is that a month or so back, you were on like a little bit of a rampage about what did outbuilding mean. What was the meaning of this word, outbuilding? What would you ever use it for? And now you're just dropping the word outbuilding correctly into casual conversation.
Tell me I can't get new wrinkles on my brain, Don.
Look at you.
That's right.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Thursday right here at the Legion of News.
A pain management doctor testified Wednesday that Anna Nicole Smith was not a drug addict, rebuffing a prosecutor who suggested the model's prescriptions for 1,500 pills in a single month did not amount to an addiction.
Well, that's nothing.
It speaks to potential danger and risk to the patient, but it doesn't speak to addiction, Dr. Perry G. Fine told jurors in a drug conspiracy trial. Fine, who testified as a defense witness, said there might be a toxicity risk if Smith took all the drugs, but added that her medical records showed no indication of actual harm.
Except for the fact that she's dead.
And
there was a little evidence of harm there.
And there was an actual TV show that showed her walking around and attempting to speak and stand upright.
Yeah, and also she was stoned everywhere she went in public. And that time she stood on the MTV Movie Awards and nearly keeled over into Kanye West.
Yeah, Fine testified that he believed Smith had a high tolerance for drugs, but was not addicted. He said medical records showed she'd suffered from fractured ribs and was seeking relief from chronic pain.
Okay.
A retired New York City firefighter yearning to meet Madonna has been accused of scrawling messages of adoration on the sidewalk outside her apartment building and possessing a 7.5-inch ice pick. Robert Linhart was charged with graffiti and criminal possession of an ice pick recovered from his car.
Criminal possession of an ice pick?
Criminal possession of an ice pick.
What differentiates criminal possession of an ice pick? I mean, assuming you haven't actually, like, stabbed somebody with it.
I don't know.
I wonder how you even quantify that.
I don't know.
It can't be illegal to just carry an ice pick around. It has a legitimate purpose.
The grizzled 59-year-old was arraigned Wednesday in Manhattan Criminal Court. A judge set his bail at $20,000 cash. Defense lawyer Cheryl Bader told the Daily News that there was no threatening conduct, and it's not a crime to adore Madonna.
No, it isn't, Don.
Police say Linhart was arrested Tuesday spray-painting messages to the singer and asking to meet her.
I love the idea that it was an actual, like, it was a legal defense that it's not against the law to adore Madonna. If adoring Madonna is wrong, Your Honor, then...
And meanwhile, the other guys are going, criminal possession of an ice pick.
Seriously. Find me guilty of adoration of Madonna in the first degree.
If it's wrong to love Madonna.
God damn. All right.
The children's show Sesame Street says it won't air a taped segment featuring Katy Perry and Omo. The pop star wore a gold bustier top as she sang a version of her hit Hot and Cold, and some felt it was too revealing. Sesame Street said in a statement Thursday that in light of the feedback we've received after the bit was aired on YouTube, they won't include it on the show. While the show said it's still available on YouTube, it's been removed by the official Sesame Street YouTube channel. Other versions on YouTube have generated thousands of hits. A rep for Perry said Thursday that Perry enjoyed her time with Sesame Street and Elmo and pointed out that the clip is online on her website.
Yeah, I was actually talking to somebody about this the other day. It wasn't about Sesame Street as such. It was about the Muppet Show. It was somebody out in Portland. We were talking about the third, because I'm busy. I'm watching the third season of the Muppet Show right now because it's on, you know, the whole thing's on DVD. And it is, you know, I know the Muppet Show was for a slightly different audience and that it was more of a family show.
Yeah.
But it's astounding if you beg and watch that, what they sort of got away with.
It's very smart.
Oh, it's
it was
it's,
really smart.
And it holds up. That's the thing. The Muppet Show, I mean, Hanson stuff in general, but the Muppet Show, it has not lost a step. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not an ounce of the punch that's gone from that show, because the great thing about the Muppet Show is that it was sort of dated to begin with. Because it was supposed to be kind of vaudeville. I mean, it was supposed to be a kind of borscht belt sort of variety show.
But also, it was really, really super fast-paced.
Yeah.
And now everything we watch is super fast-paced. So if you watch The Muppet Show now, it seems normal.
It fits right in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the other thing, is it doesn't, you know, it doesn't, it seems normal, but at the same time, it hasn't lost any of, like, the chaos factor. Where things just, like, at any given point on The Muppet Show, you never really know what's about to happen. You know, it's just like Gonzo just falls out of the sky, you know, or something is shot out of a cannon, you know, or a chicken runs by. And it's like it all makes a sort of like weird, illogical sense when you watch it. But it was the season three episode with Alice Cooper, who at one point was singing Cold Ethel, which is a song about necrophilia. And I was just sitting there just going, you know, this aired in like 1974. And he's on there singing about effing a corpse, you know, and everybody's sort of gyrating along, you know, with him. And I was probably at home watching with my parents, and everybody was snapping their fingers and having a gay old time with Alice. It's all very strange. And then Leo Sayer was on the next episode. It was all very strange. All right, here's Don Taylor.
I lost my page. I got so excited and enraptured by what you were talking about, I lost my place. Jennifer Lopez and Steven Tyler will join Randy Jackson as American Idol judges next season after months of turnover and speculation about the future of the top-rated show. During yesterday's announcement in Los Angeles, Lopez said she can't wait to get started.
I love you guys.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I got to turn this down.
I love you guys. I'm so excited to be here.
Wow.
Okay.
The announcement was made before a crowd of several thousand who gathered to try out, some cheering loudly for the cameras and all hoping to make it onto the next round where they'll be judged by the revamped panel. Tyler said, talked a little bit about what he thinks he'll bring to American Idol.
This is Steven Tyler.
This is Steven Tyler.
Why is everything so quiet today? Hold on a second.
You know, it's being a part of something much bigger than yourself, and I think you all understand that, but you know, I want to bring some rock to this roller coaster.
Somebody wrote that for him.
But probably not. That's the thing about Steven Tyler. He's such a. I was trying to find that phrase that we, that thing that we played last week, that he was talking about love in an elevator and the inspiration.
Oh yeah.
I don't know where it went. I had it in front of me and now it seems to be gone. Steven Tyler is just. He's one of the real masters of the turn of phrase. Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. All right, well, doesn't matter. Here's the thing. I'm not going to be watching anyway, much as I love Steven Tyler. I've watched American Idol exactly once in my life, just because it's just, it's like late in the game to be starting a fight about American Idol with, like, anybody. But
yeah.
I just, you know, it's not meant for me, and that's fine. Lots of people love it. I'm just not one of those people. I think the only time I ever watched American Idol was when it was the first time that Meatloaf was on, I think. But there was like some, it was one of those theme weeks where they did, it was like all Beatles songs or all something or other. But I think it was like, I think they did like all Meatloaf stuff one night, and I thought, okay, well, if I'm ever going to watch, like, this is the night for me to watch. No, you know, and I watched when Kiss was on, of course, because I'm easily marketed to. And then that was it. And that was, that was the end of my experience with American Idol. This is sort of like the latter era of the Dukes of Hazzard, probably, though.
Yeah.
We're seeing the sort of ending of the show is half-lifing away.
We can only hope.
Yeah.
Law & Order Special Victims Unit's 12th season premieres this week with a two-hour installment featuring my imaginary TV boyfriend Henry Ian Cusack, Desmond Hume from Lost, and Joan Cusack. My Another of my imaginary TV boyfriends, Christopher Maloney, who plays Detective Elliot Stabler, says he still gets starstruck by some of the guest stars who grace the show.
It's always great. You know, we've been very lucky. I mean, I still remember the first couple big hitters we got on the show. Because, you know, when you do this show, you know, working your, whatever, 14, 16-hour days, you know, you kind of live in a bubble. You don't really kind of know what's happening. All you get are from the suits going, the numbers are good or the numbers are bad. And I have no idea what that means. It just means, oh, I guess I'm going to be employed for the next year. And then after a while, like the fans, you know, you get fans. And so you get stopped on the street. So, okay, so you got that. But when you have these names that I know, I either grew up with or they've made an impact on me. I mean, everything from Angela Lansbury to Alfred Molina. I still remember acting with the Fonz. I just kept... That was the most difficult... One of the most difficult episodes to do because I just remember standing there going, I'm acting with the Fonz. Hey, you know, all that stuff.
That's adorable.
It's great because all of a sudden I'm turned into a fan. You know, my fan meter goes off. And, you know, we had Christine Lotti. And, you know, when you get people who come to play, they do their work, they're professionals, and they have a point of view of where they're coming from, and yet they respect, you know, your point of view.
There you go. So that's it. So that's what, it's 10 years or something now that it's been on?
12.
12, Jesus.
Yeah, this will be 12.
So when did the original Law & Order go on the air? Do you have any idea? Because this is like
it's a couple of years before that, so it would have to have been 14 or 15 years ago.
Because there's what, there's four of them? Criminal Intent, SVU.
The plain old Law & Order, which I guess isn't on anymore, or is it?
But see, I don't know. That's the thing, is I have no idea.
I don't know. I can only tell them apart anymore. Well, as much as I love Christopher Maloney, I hate Law & Order SVU because of all of the shows, it is the worst about the way they actually do their police work. They're just horrible bullies and they jump to these conclusions. And as soon as like some guy is in their radar, they're like, he's a pedophile and we hate him and we're going to go around to all of his neighbors and tell all his neighbors he's a pedophile. And then later it's like, oh, it wasn't him.
Sorry.
Let's move on to no, they never say they're sorry.
Of course.
Ever.
Not.
They just move on to the next person. You're like, well, I guess you just destroyed that guy's life, Christopher Maloney.
Okay.
And it makes me angry.
All right, then.
So I can't really watch it. But all I know about SVU, the Law & Order, I can only keep them apart by, it's like, oh, okay, that's the one that has Jeff Goldblum on it now.
Yeah, that was me. It's like Ice-T. Ice-T's in this one. Okay, this one, and then there was the one that had Lenny Briscoe. What's his name?
Yeah.
Jerry Orbach.
Yeah.
You know.
That was the original one.
Yeah, so he's, yeah. I was something of a fan of that. And was it, who was
And Vincent D'Onofrio is on one of them.
He's in Criminal Intent.
And is that the one that he's gone now and Jeff Goldblum replaced him?
I believe so. But again, I'm like you, though. It's like, there's so much of it to keep track of. It's like you would almost have to have a separate TV and a separate TiVo and whatever just for Law & Order. And then on the original Law & Order, there was Jerry Orbach. And then the lead prosecutor, was it Sam? It's not Sam Waterston.
Yeah, Sam Waterston.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Okay, the guy, and he was like in Serial Mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, that guy. See, I dig that guy, too. And I got turned on to Law & Order because they used to do these crossover episodes with Homicide. And that was actually what sort of triggered me to, like, you know, to start watching that show. And I'm a total sucker for,
well,
like,
and then
you know.
Richard Belzer ended up going from Homicide over to Law & Order.
Now, he's on... Now, is it SVU? I can't... We're talking about... We don't even watch the show,
think,
and we're sitting here trying to figure it out.
I think he's on SVU.
That's the one that's in New York?
Yeah, it's Belzer and Ice-T and Mariska Hargitay and Christopher Maloney.
Mariska Hargitay. Boy, you want to talk about a chick who's just got crazy eyes. She has just got like I'm bonkers eyes, like from miles. By the way, we will continue this discussion undoubtedly because I think we actually have some sound from Mariska Hargitay. We will get to next hour in the Rick Emerson radio program. If you are not subscribing to the Rick Emerson radio show, you can do so at rickemerson.com. If you long to hear hours more of my butter sharp wit every weekday, you can do that for the low cost of just 32 cents a day. If you have not done that, again, you can do it at rickemerson.com, or you can do this. You can leave us a voicemail at 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964. 6964, no more than 2 minutes in length. Leave us a voicemail why you or somebody you know should receive a one-month gratis subscription to the Rick Emerson Show and the Rick Emerson Grant. The Emerson Grant, done in partnership with our good friends at New Millennium Maintenance and Landscaping. We are giving away 10 one-month memberships each and every month. So every month, we give away a membership for 1 month to 10 fortunate souls. So to qualify for that, all you got to do is leave a message at this number, 503-505-6964. Barring that, or if you're, you know, just not able to use a phone for whatever reason, like maybe if you're one of those guys that has to type with a stick in his teeth or something, you can send a limerick and or a haiku to Don Taylor. I got a haiku about you today, actually.
And I got a limerick about us
really?
Today as well, yes.
All right, then. You can do that to Don, D-A-W-N, at rickemerson.com. And again, 10 of those folks picked every month for the Emerson Grant, courtesy of New Millennium Landscape and Maintenance. So we got like, like 2-3 minutes here. So
it's big TV night. Let's just say that the fall season is really kicking into gear. And I'm starting to wish that I still had TiVo, because tonight at 8 o'clock, back-to-back, we have, first of all, we have Bones on Fox, the Season 6 premiere. Also, the season premiere of Big Bang Theory on CBS, followed by the season premiere of 30 Rock on NBC at 8:30. You're going to have your Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice back-to-back if you enjoy those shows. They come back for their new seasons. Following what I am going to be watching, however, following Bones on Fox, the season premiere of Fringe. Fringe is back.
Now, Fringe is one of those shows, it's like this, and the list just grows. Let me ask you this. Do you find that with every passing week, every passing day, the list of things that you realize you need to watch, either because you will really like the show,
yeah,
or it's been recommended to you by somebody whose judgment you trust, or it's like just because of your cultural literacy, the list grows actually faster than you can watch the shows.
I will say this, though. I think that this season may kind of stop that, because so far it appears that virtually all of the new shows that are premiering this season
are terrible.
I watched the first episode of Undercovers, the new J.J. Abrams show last
night. Oh, yeah. So was that good?
No. Oh, God, no. It's awful. It is awful.
Oh, God, no.
I couldn't believe it. I kept thinking, it's got to be good. It's J.J. Abrams and they're spies and they're running around. Oh, my God, it's awful.
Well, that's kind of disappointing. I mean, and a little surprising, actually, because you figure he has it down to a science by now.
You think he has? I give him props for this, though. He very quietly managed to start the first, like, nighttime drama sort of action show that actually stars two African-American people. Not a white guy and a black guy.
Right.
It's a couple, and they're both black. The problem being, though, they are both exceptionally, like, camera-friendly, incredibly attractive people, with no chemistry between the two of them.
That sucks.
At all. And the show is really cliched and really bad.
And then
the
just becomes flat. And
it is so flat. It's awful.
Well, he just got some other damn show greenlit, that Alcatraz series.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't even know. I just don't know how he even sleeps, if he does. There must be...
He directed this first episode of the show Undercovers, too, and it's bad.
It's interesting, actually. Whenever a show like that comes out, and I hear, like, just now where you're saying, like, oh, that show's terrible, don't watch it. In a way, I'm almost relieved, because, like, now it's like, oh, God, one less thing that I have to watch. No, I don't feel obligated to view it.
But you haven't watched Fringe, and eventually you may pick up on that, because I love Fringe.
I'm a terrible person. All right. Well, let's bring the curtain down on this installment of Legion of News. All right, there you go. Thus endeth another episode of Legion of News right here at PDX.FM at the news desk.
President Barack Obama.
Who sounds an awful lot like Don Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, and chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. Don't forget, the Rick Emerson Show comes up next at rickemerson.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you all again tomorrow at noon.
Obama!
Until then, thank you for enjoying another exciting episode of...
Legion of News! On PDX.FM.